Welcome to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Hood, and normally we are joined by co-host Father Michael Orsi from Naples, Florida, but Father is sleeping right now, and it's like, Lauren and Linda, what time is it exactly? I don't even know what time it is.
We're on the Lord's time, central time, 9:55 p.m. Oh, and that's my phone going on.
And I hear
10:55 Eastern time.
The Lord is calling us to go to bed soon. That's really what this is all about, so.
And that was a really cool sounding ringtone. It was like almost like reggae or something.
Yeah, I only do ringtones where you want to dance.
I like that. I like that. So normally we have Father Orsi on, and we also have Sierra Heidkamp, but Sierra is at a legislative party in North Dakota right now, also burning the midnight oil. We normally produce the show Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Central, and it airs Saturday and Sunday on Catholic Spirit Radio. But this week has been kind of nuts. We were doing the first annual Pro-Life Naples Summit, or Naples Pro-Life Summit, I should say. And we are joined today by three very special guests. Lauren Mazika from Sidewalk Advocates for Life, Linda Fernandez, also from Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and Karen Garnett from Heroic Media. And Karen has like a ton more titles, but I'll let her introduce herself a little bit more in a second. So we are producing this. It's like 10 Central, 11 Eastern. I basically lost my voice this week. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not.
Oh yeah. No, you sound like I don't know, some sort of like lounge singer, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I could be a lounge singer. That would be a really fun job, actually.
Yeah. No, you sound you sound even more important than you are.
Wow.
Hey, that sounded really that came out wrong. You're already important. You already sound important, and it just went to the nth degree. That's what I was trying to say. You need to cut me off. 10 p.m. at night is no time to do an interview with Laura Musica. So anyway.
I don't actually know how important I am, but I like it. So you're hired. You can come on anytime you want.
Good.
Flattery gets you very far on this program.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think that was flattery. So I'm so tired right now that you might have been insulting me, and I would actually take it as flattery.
Oh, good. Yeah. We're in a good spot, Royce.
We're in a great spot. Good. So let's tell the listeners a little bit about this week. I mean, it was just incredible. We had people really from around the country. We had pro-life leaders coming to Naples, Florida. And Lauren, you were there. Linda, you were there. Karen was there as well. And we kicked things off. It was 2 days. We kicked things off with like this excursion airboat, which in the Everglades, which sounds kind of like, why would we do that? But it was like this team building thing. I mean, so many of us have gotten together before, and we're always either on the sidewalks or in the conference room. Here was an opportunity for people to come together and do something a little bit different and get to know each other. I want your reaction, and we can go around because all three of you ladies were on that excursion. Let's start with that, and we'll go through the whole weekend or the whole week.
Yeah.
Take it first. Linda, I mean, honestly, this is the first time I think I've actually met you. Is that right? Or did we meet before?
Well, I've met you in D.C.
In D.C., okay.
Yeah, I've always been in the background setting up booths and stuff. So I've
That's
seen
right.
you. But I think it was amazing. I mean, how often do we all get together and have an outing? You know, I think the best thing was to actually get to know people first and seeing where they're from and what they do and just having a good time. And then I think one of the best things, Royce, was actually seeing your kids with you together and you being an awesome father that you are. And then us holding the alligator. That was fun, too.
That was a highlight. Yeah.
I still owe all three of you pictures. I have pictures on my phones, on my phone of each of you holding the alligator. So I don't know if you guys have those or not, but I'll make sure I send those to you. That was really fun. Yeah. And so that was Gabriel and Augustine, my two oldest boys. And honestly, one of the reasons why I brought them is my wife is like, I can't do it a week with those two guys here and the baby. So take them with you. It'll be a fun excursion and a fun trip. And it really was. And they couldn't have been better. I was afraid that one of them was going to jump in off the airboats and try to catch an alligator. Luckily, they didn't.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right.
We were telling them to put their hands down and to keep the hands away from the alligators. That was my favorite part. And then when you got distracted by one of them, the other's hands would start to go over the rail. And I'd be like, hey, Gabriel, hands down, you know? So it takes a village sometimes, and we protected your children's fingers.
I felt very safe. And I felt like, honestly, I felt like, you know, I was surrounded by people that would look out for them. And even when I was sort of like being like a airhead dad and looking away and Oh, the kids are swimming with the alligators. Wait a minute. Karen, and hey, this is another cool thing. We were all in the same boat, actually. We coincidentally.
Yes.
There was two boats.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, okay. People who've heard my story know that I was 10 when Roe v. Wade came down, right? So if you do the math, you figure out how old I am. So I came over from Dallas. I'd never heard of an airboat before. And so I'm like going, I better look this up before I go on this excursion. What do we wear? Do we get wet? What does an airboat look like? So I end up doing that. I'm like, oh, okay, we might get wet. So I'm wearing my, you know, my Sperry waterproof, you know, boots and all that. It was a blast. And it was, and the other thing is, I've only been to Naples once, 17 years ago, and for a Legatus thing. And so I hadn't even heard of the Everglades, you know? And so it was a great experience. And the guide takes you on this little excursion and teaches you stuff. And to think that they could take, and also I asked the question, like, how long have airboats been around? And to learn that the trivia that Alexander Graham Bell invented the airboat in 1902, that was interesting. But also that they can take these boats. We were in 3 inches of water. 3-inch deep water. And this boat full of people, they were gliding us through in 3 inches. 3 inches of water was amazing to me. Yeah, it was really fun. So thank you for, I'd never done it before. I've never even heard of it. And it was awesome.
No, you know, you brought up some great points. Our guide was really hardcore.
Yeah.
Does anybody, what was his name? Do you guys remember? I probably have it on video.
I remember. Rob? Yeah, I don't.
He looked like a guy from Duck Dynasty.
Right, that's exactly what I was going to say. Right? He looked like he belonged right on Duck Dynasty.
But he was a true professional on airboats because literally, Karen asked him, you know, who invented airboats, and he knew the year. And he's like, oh, yeah, Bell, you know, got the patent in 1902. Like, how the heck did he know that? That was amazing.
And he says he actually lives in the Everglades. Yeah. Like, you got to take a boat out to his house or something like that. Like, that's what he claimed. And he was completely straight-faced and respectively serious when he said it. And I believe him.
He was probably he'd probably be a really good guy. Like, if that was a 3-hour tour, like Gilligan's Isle, he would be a really good guy to be stranded with because he'd probably know exactly what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I would be the first one to get eaten by alligators. Let's just put that out there.
I got to say, too, you know, add this, Royce. Thanks for planning something like that. That's nature and just sort of completely different and getting out of the office, out, you know, we travel to get here. There's all of that. But, you know, we're always pro-life people. We're always, you know, we're at it, right? Well, and to take that kind of time out and go do that. I don't know. I was definitely connecting with the Lord, even on the airboat and just looking at the water and marveling at, even at the invention of an airboat.
You know, even sitting at the beach, right? And I grew up in Florida. I grew up in the outdoors, and there's really something very, there's divinity out there. You realize how small we are and how beautiful, like the sunset. No sunset is the same. And my grandmother always it's like God is painting you a picture every single night. Mm-hmm. And you knew. So I really feel like having that that connection to, you know, being outdoors for a little bit, getting away from all the noise, and the airboats are kind of noisy actually. So maybe that wasn't the most peaceful thing in the world. But yeah, I'm so glad you guys were able to come. So all right, so we did the airboats. And then we went over to Ave Maria School of Law. We did a little meet and greet there with a couple members of the faculty and a few of the students. That was a lot of fun. We ate Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
They don't ever order anything other than Domino's, I guess.
When your founder of the law school is also the founder of Domino's Pizza, you eat Domino's pizza.
You eat Domino's pizza. And then what did we do? We went to Ave Maria University out in Ave Town, and we had more pizza.
And more pizza.
And more Domino's pizza. So anyways, it was delicious. It was great.
Yeah.
So
all the flavors, right? Remember, Royce?
We did.
Yeah. I didn't even know that stuff came on pizza. It was really well done. No, but it really was a treat to go and have a presence at the law school. There were definitely students who were really inspired by the presence of leaders from all over the United States there in the room, right? And several students that are definitely discerning a future in religious liberty and pro-life, pro-family, right? And so us being able to speak to you know, what it's like to be the non-traditional student and lead a nonprofit or get involved in the culture battle in some creative way, you know, all the way to being a pro-life litigator or lobbyist. That was a real treat. And for them to see different facets of the pro-life movement, you know, I think that this is one of the things that the summit does so well is it really demonstrates the body of Christ. You know, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, right? We've got legislative affairs, we've got litigation, we've got undercover investigative journalism, we've got education, we've got sidewalk advocacy, we've got prayer, we've got all these different facets of the movement. And so for the students to see that at a critical moment, whether at the law school or the university, I think it was a real treat for them. And I could, you know, I had moments on stage. I know Karen could speak to this, Linda as well. Royce, you were, you know, emceeing the entire event. And it was just beautiful to look out, for example, at all the faces in the room at the pro-life rally at Ave Maria University, and to really see students affected by what was being shared, right? So it was great.
You all stayed, Lauren. I mean, you hit a few things there. I mean, first of all, you are an attorney, right? You graduated Ave Maria School of Law, and you discerned, right? Tell us a little bit about that, right? I mean, you were, when you were graduating law school, you probably thought, hey, I'm gonna go be a lawyer.
Yeah, I actually thought I was going to be legal counsel for a pro-life organization like 40 Days for Life. And the irony is that I went to go work for 40 Days for Life, but I was in the grassroots world, right? So my friend David B. Wright came to me, who founded 40 Days for Life. Of course, I had met him in College Station. I used to babysit his kid, Sean Carney, also the co-founder of 40 Days for Life, was a classmate of mine. So I used to pray in sidewalk counsel outside of former Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson's facility. And that was life-changing. When you watch a transformation like that, what peace, prayer, and love does out on the sidewalk, there's just no other way to put it except to say it's not just transformational for the community, but for the very people who participate in it, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to share with the world what you've learned, how peace, prayer, and love can completely change the game on the sidewalk where women feel safe coming to the fence to talk, right? So anyways, I still didn't get the memo that maybe I was called a grassroots pro-life work. I, you know, basically went to school to be a pro-life litigator or lobbyist. And I mean, that's a whole other story and show. But the long and short of it is that David B. Wright came to me at one point and he said something that I felt like was prophetic for my life. He said, I can't promise that if you join the 40 Days for Life national team, that it will all be legal work, but I do promise the Lord will use your law degree. Mm-hmm. And so I said yes to being or serving as the campaign strategist for the National 40 Days for Life team for over 2 years. And at one point saw a need and felt the call to start Sidewalk Advocates for Life. So I tell people, if, you know, the Lord had told me years ago that as an attorney, I would be leading a sidewalk counseling organization, I don't know if I would have laughed or cried, but I am so happy doing what I'm doing. And I think it also gives permission for other professionals out there to let go of maybe the plan that they had for their life and to receive something even so much greater than they could have imagined. Because as I shared with the students at Ave Maria University, I'm so happy doing what I'm doing. Like, there's nothing, I mean, we just got news the other day by God's grace that we indeed had hit 20,000 turnarounds in 9 years on the sidewalk because ordinary people like us just said yes, you know? And it's like, do I wish that I was in a corner office in a, you know, high rise Dallas skyscraper and, you know, working at a firm and, you know, had all the things? No. Now, I want to be super clear for those of you that are doing that, we need you there. So if that's your calling to go be salt and light in a firm or as a clerk or in whatever sector of the legal arena, we need you there. We need you to be Christ there.
Divide and conquer, right? I mean, yeah. And that, you know, so listen, we only have about 2 minutes left in this segment before we go to our first commercial break, but that is such a great point. I mean, what you're talking about reminds me of, I mean, it reminds me of that saying, divide and conquer. And Karen, we all went out to the law school and you were supposed to go out there.
You mean the university?
Right, to the university. We went from the law school to the university, which is like, what, 30, 40 minutes away. Yep. And you stayed behind. You ended up sticking around at the law school. Tell us
about
2 minutes before break.
Yeah, it was God. Well, first of all, I wanted to say too, Lauren, how blessed we were, because after law school, yes, you went to 40 Days for Life, but then before Sidewalk Advocates, you came and worked with our Dallas organization
for a time,
Catholic Prayer Life, where we both used to work. So that was such a blessing for us to have you using your talents and skills there as well. No, God had something completely, incredibly, you know, unexpected in in our itinerary, I had asked Dr. John Bruchowski to come down to be on the communications messaging panel, particularly to address the part of what I always include when I do, you know, my training sessions. And that is that there, you know, we need to correct and clarify that there is no medical situation that would make abortion necessary to save the life of the mother, right? So in DC, I had Dr. Monique Ribeiro addressing that, and then Dr. John Bruchowski was available. So we're down there at that lunchtime in the law school meeting people and just sharing very briefly a little bit about who we are, what we do. And Dr. Brian Skarnecchia, who you guys both know, Lauren and Royce from Ave Maria School of Law, he's just back there, you know, nodding his head and comes right over afterwards. And he said, "Oh, this is just so important. It's so important. And, uh-huh. and I, you know, I'm on this thing as well." He said, "By the way, I have a class tonight, my bioethics and law school class here. If you and Dr. Bruchowski are available and would like to stop in and just share, you know, a few words, we'd love to have you." Well, I go, he says, it's just two doors down. And I go, "Oh, okay." Well, thinking the rally is on the same property, you know, not realizing the difference in distance and everything else. So we were planning to go to the rally and then go over to...
Let's hear more about it on the other side of the break. We got to jump on to a quick break. You're listening to Truth Culture Life on Catholic Spirit Radio. And when we come back, we're going to be joined again by Lauren Mazika. And I also want to get into a conversation with Linda about some of her story. And we want to hear a little bit more about Karen and the doctor as well. So stick with us and we'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'll be hosting Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. Yes, you'll hear me live, on air, specifically speaking to you, the Catholic Spirit Radio listeners in Central and Northern Illinois. This will be the first time that Catholic Spirit Radio is having a live broadcast, so it's going to be a blast. Besides me, you'll also get to hear from a lot of people dropping by the station to make their donations. Plus, since our theme for the Carathon is Jesus, we trust in you. We'll be talking and learning lots about divine mercy. It's sure to be an exciting 3 days. Catholic Spirit Radio is an outstanding and important voice in your community, and we must keep it on the air. Please join me in this effort because we need Catholic Radio now more than ever. Funds are needed to maintain and update equipment and pay the monthly expenses. We need your support, especially during these days. So save the date, Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon, April 12th through the 14th.
Wondering about your next step? Ashley was in school and pregnant when she reached out to the Pregnancy Resource Center. Would she be judged? Would she be accepted? What she found at LAPRC was a team of people who were committed to providing excellent care and compassionate support to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. If you or someone you know is in a situation like Ashley, or if you want to help support women and families in our community, you can find us at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Join Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's Parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
Has an abortion experience left you feeling empty and alone? Rachel's Vineyard Retreat offers healing for those who struggle with the emotional and spiritual pain. This retreat is for mothers and fathers, whether single or married, and for grandparents, siblings, or anyone suffering the effects of an abortion loss. Confidentially register now for the March 24th through 26th retreat by calling 309-264-1489 or by emailing rvrpeoria@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Truth Culture Life. Wow, what a cool show. The show's a little bit different this week. We are missing Father Orsi and Sierra Heidkamp. They're both Father's sleeping and Sierra's at some kind of a cool party in North Dakota that I did not get invited to, but that's a whole nother subject. And we were just talking to Karen. So Lauren and Linda and I were down in Florida, and Karen was there as well for the Naples Pro-Life Summit. And Linda, Lauren, and I went out to the law school of Ave Maria School of Law, and Karen stuck around. We went out to the university. I'm getting all twisted. And we divided and conquered. Karen stuck around and ended up teaching a class to Professor Brian Skarnecchia. He used to teach at Franciscan. He's a great professor. And is that a bioethics class?
Bioethics and law. And it was incredible because, again, not really having the bearings and all. I'd gone back to the hotel. Dr. Ruchowski was staying with friends near the university. And when I got in the car to like head to the university and I saw it was 45 minutes, I was like, oh, this is just not going to work out to go there. I better go to law school first. So I told Dr. Ruchowski, who was already headed that way. So we get there and Dr. Skarnecchia just introduces us to the class. And we ended up, he said, you can have as much time as you want. And I knew in my heart that not only was I going to talk about messaging, lexicon, but and that Dr. Ruchowski was going to talk about no abortion necessary to save the life of the mother, but that Dr. Ruchowski was to share his testimony of having been a former performer of abortions in medical school, including all trimesters, and his incredible conversion and transformation story, which Our Lady had everything to do with, Blessed Mother. And there he is at Ave Maria. So we ended up taking the entire 1 hour, 50 minutes. We were the guest lecturers for that course and that class that night. And in their bioethics, where they were in their class was on contraception and abortion right then anyway. But it was an incredible experience, just absolutely incredible. And Dr. Skarnecchia was not aware of Dr. Bruchowski's story either. So everyone was just, they were blown away to the point that, and then Dr. Bruchowski's up there doing the whiteboard. He's drawing everything. He's explaining everything in terms of the, treating an ectopic pregnancy is not an abortion and all of that. But at the end of it, Dr. Skarnecchia said to Dr. Bruchowski, I could really see you being a future commencement speaker. We will never forget that night. It was not part of the itinerary. I don't know.
It was providential. That's the way things work. Okay. So meanwhile, and by the way, we want to have the doctor on this program, and I think you're going to help us set that up, Karen. So maybe next week even we can do that. We can get in more to the pro-life luncheon and everything else that you have getting on. I want to talk to Linda a little bit because Linda, I was not aware of your story. And you get up on stage at the university at the pro-life pep rally, and it was a really good turnout. We had a lot of students there. And look, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and your association with Lauren and everything else.
Yeah, of course. I think it was very, it was definitely the Holy Spirit. I think Lauren obviously spoke to you and said, you need Linda to talk to you. But I think it's because, first of all, what's really important is knowing our audience. And it was a lot of the students there. So I think the crowd that was there was very much in need to listen to a lot of what, for example, Dina, right? And she spoke a lot about the importance of telling stories. And stories are real, right? Part of that is my life. My story of 2015, I had an abortion. And so part of, that vulnerability of really speaking to the truth of what an abortion does to women, what an abortion does to families. And so for my story is obviously unique, but it's very similar because it deeply wounded me. The abortion, I had a chemical abortion and it was traumatic. It was very, very traumatic. And I think also speaking to the heart of that and the power of healing after an abortion. And that's something I wanted to speak to because I knew that obviously wherever, if anyone's listening today, or whenever they hear this or in whenever I speak, there's always someone in the room that has had an abortion or knows someone that had an abortion. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think what was really powerful is really speaking to the power of God's mercy and healing. And so when you receive that, there's so much freedom in knowing to speak in that story and knowing to not wanting to wish that upon anyone else. And so I think that's why God has also changed my plan, right? I received my doctorate in physical therapy and Lauren actually said, God can use this healing that you have in a different way, right? And so that's why I do what I do with Sidewalk Advocates for Life is really speaking to the heart of women and men also going inside these abortion facilities and telling them, hey, there's resources, there's help. And, you know, you don't need to go in here. And there's other options. And so part of that is what I do now. And I am the regional manager in the East Side. And so I started in Florida. I live in Miami, Florida. And so we started with 25 abortion facilities in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. So now we had a closing. And so we have 24 facilities, but very, very powerful stuff. So yeah, God's working in my life. And I think what was really powerful was really speaking to that truth.
You know, You and I got to hear your story a little bit at the university, and then the next day two of the national Naples Pro-Life Summit, you went into a little bit more detail.
I did.
One of the things I thought that was really astounding and just beautiful, the way you put it out there, was how the confessional is what brought you so much peace and you know, and frankly, the priest that you went to. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how you experienced healing in, you know, post-abortion.
Yeah, definitely. I think a big part of that was when I was healing through that. I think physically too, because when a woman goes through that process, they don't want to get out of bed. They don't want to live. It's horrible, right? And so in that moment, I had my mother with me at that time, and she was really with me even bedside, right, when I was healing through all of this. And she actually told me to go back to church. And so it's not that I got up out of bed and went the next day, but it took some time. And she kept reminding me gently and so beautifully. And then she said something powerful to me, was, what do you have to lose to go back to church? Go back to where we raised you, with the roots of your faith, right? And so a lot of time in my life, I mean, you're being raised teaching that God is punishing, God is this. And so I thought God was not going to forgive me, right, for the sin that I committed. And so I didn't want to go back to that. And so what was beautiful is that I really learned about the mercy of God and who God is. And so when I went back to church, obviously there was confession. And so I went through the confessional, the little light of the confessional. It was only me there, which was really interesting. And so I said, I wanted to face this priest. And so I went inside the confessional, and I looked at this priest, and I told him what I did. And I looked at him, and it was interesting because I had asked him so many questions. And then the one question that I asked him is, Father, how is it that Jesus forgives me for my sin, for this sin, right? The sin of a... And he looked at me and was, I don't think I talked about this, but it was really powerful of like my coming back to the church was this, is that he had grabbed the crucifix from the wall, and he had showed me the crucifix, and he said, Linda, he died for you. And so in that moment was like transformation. I said, this is God's mercy. And it was very much a moment of like, go and sin no more, right? And he had two pamphlets, right? He had given me a pamphlet about natural family planning. And then he had given me another pamphlet of healing after abortion. And so it was a very crucial time for me, because I said, I can receive more healing. And so that's where everything started. And I think something that I also wanted to mention was that in the process of healing was, number one, naming your child, right? Recognizing, giving dignity to the child. And so throughout my process of healing, I would have dreams with a little boy. And this little boy was in heaven. And it was really beautiful because he was always drew. And so I knew in that moment, right, that his name was Joshua. So I had told this other priest that I had talked to, and I said, his name is Joshua. And so in the healing after abortion, we had to name our child, and we had to go through a process of forgiveness. And that is like the root of everything. And so I think we can all relate, because there's people in our lives that we don't forgive. And if we hold on to that, there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of resentment, and there's a lot of, you know, something that changes and hardens your heart. And so for me, I had to forgive a lot of people, including the father of the child, including my family, including all the men in my life, and including this abortionist and the people that assisted this abortion. So it was very, very freeing and transformational. So that's a little bit about it.
Wow. Just, I mean, so much that I would love to just dig in on every single one of the details that, and every time I hear you talk about your story, I feel like I learned something new. I mean, one of the things that I think is funny in a way for me, but just I'm so completely like impressed by you, is the fact that you went face to face during the confession. Like I go to the church 20 miles away from where I live, and I'm still behind a screen.
Because I do this all the time. Right? I always go in person now. I always.
Oh my God.
Always. Yeah.
The only time I think I've done in person was when I was in Medjugorje, which is, by the way, where Dr. Brakowski, did I say his name right? He experienced a big conversion there, which I'll let him get into those details. But other than that, I'm always behind the screen. The other thing you said was naming your child and those dreams. I haven't told too many people this, but shortly after Fulton died, when he was, you know, stillborn at really at full term, he had Potter syndrome. So we knew he wasn't going to live. So he was stillborn. And about 2 months later, I was outside of St. Clement's, where he was buried, saying a rosary in the morning. And as I was praying, I sort of looked up, and in the distance, I see this boy sort of like running by, laughing and jumping. He was like 4 years old. He had long hair, looked like it had never been cut. And he looked at me and he had blue eyes. And I remember thinking, I like sort of fell back. It was as if I was dreaming, but I was awake.
Yes.
And I went and I spoke to a priest about this as well. And I remembered a story of a former abortionist, and I can't recall his name, but he dreamt every night of all these children.
Mm-hmm.
And those children would run away from him.
Yeah.
In his dream. And he started to experience his conversion over time. And I think he went and spoke to a shrink, and the shrink is like, well, try to talk to him. And he'd go up to him in this dream, this reoccurring dream, and they would always run away. And as he's having this conversion and becoming, you know, starting to discover the beauty of his faith, all of a sudden one of the children turns and looks, and this is like a grown child. And he says, we're all the children that you've aborted over the years. Mm. And there was like hundreds of them. And he said, well, I don't get it. I never aborted a grown child. It was always just, you know, babies. And they say, well, we grow as God intended us to grow. And it's funny. I've got a link to that story, actually. It was on LifeSite News. And Dina actually sent me the link because I was asking about it the other day. So I'll post that at truthculturelife.com or on Facebook. But I love that. Naming the child, right? You have this intercessor in heaven.
Yes.
And Joshua, I just love that name. That's absolutely beautiful. Wow. So thank you. Thank you so much, Linda, for your witness, for sharing.
Just one thing I want to, like, I feel like I'm not even worthy to add on to that beautiful testimony or anything that you said, but I think what I saw in Linda when I met her and when all of us invited her to join the national team is that Linda exhibits the freedom that God intends for us to have. And that is what St. Faustina talked about when she talked about how God gave her this word that our sin is like a drop in the ocean of God's mercy. And if people can just hear that there's hope and healing for them after abortion, if they know that that's theirs, that God Almighty wants to give them that, man, what would happen to our culture? Like the transformation that would happen,
that transformation is happening. I remember, I think it was yesterday, the day before, you were like, Linda is on the phone right now with somebody that's hopefully going to turn away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Linda, she's doing phone calls. She translates in Spanish for our sidewalk advocate. I mean,
come on. You know? Yeah.
So
I think the fact that, you know, God, we don't always understand what does Cardinal Burke always say? He says it's like providence, right? We don't always understand God, like why things happen the way they do, but God uses us uses things. And you, Linda, are in such a position to reach people because of the experiences that you have gone through.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you so relatable. And I loved when we were at the university and you said, you know, there's at least five people in this room that have either had abortion or know somebody that has.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked around and I was like, wow, like that's just amazing to say that even to a group of college students at a Catholic university.
Yeah.
Karen, you know a bit about obviously divine mercy, what Lauren was speaking about, you know, with Sister Faustina. And you've got some divine mercy background. That's obviously the doctor that you've been talking about. His whole thing is divine mercy. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and I was introduced to the divine mercy devotion in the early 90s myself. And I mean, I'm a huge divine mercy devotee, sing it. And I was praying it when I was with Norma McCorvey through her final week. I was praying divine mercy chaplets, you know, at her bedside, keeping vigil. Wow. Yes, Dr. Brakowski named his practice Tepeyac OBGYN, but it is the parent company of that is Divine Mercy Care. That's what it's called. Yeah. And yeah, you'll have him on to tell his story. But it is all about Divine Mercy, and no one is beyond God's mercy. I mean, Dr. Buchowski did a third trimester abortion, you know, and he is walking in the grace and joy of the Lord. And he's just he just exudes the joy of the Lord, because I'll tell this little bit of his story. The experience that he had when he was on the hill in Medjugorje was seeing a vision of Jesus and Mary, and Mary took his hand and put it into the side of Jesus. Mm. And at that moment, he experienced, like, he touched Jesus's divine mercy, because as we know, blood and water gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us. When that lance went into Jesus on the cross, blood and water gushed forth, and that's divine mercy. Mm. So yeah, he experienced it firsthand in a very profound way. And changed the trajectory of his life.
This is such a great conversation. We have to take one more commercial break. We'll be right back with Truth, Culture, Life in just a moment.
Hi, this is Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'll be hosting Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. Yes, you'll hear me live on air, specifically speaking to you, the Catholic Spirit Radio listeners in Central and Northern Illinois. This will be the first time that Catholic Spirit Radio is having a live broadcast, so it's going to be a blast. Besides me, you'll also get to hear from a lot of people dropping by the station to make their donations. Plus, since our theme for the Carathon is Jesus, we trust in you. We'll be talking and learning lots about divine mercy. It's sure to be an exciting 3 days. Catholic Spirit Radio is an outstanding and important voice in your community, and we must keep it on the air. Please join me in this effort, because we need Catholic Radio now more than ever. Funds are needed to maintain and update equipment and pay the monthly expenses. We need your support, especially during these days. So save the date, Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon, April 12th through the 14th.
Wondering about your next step? Ashley was in school and pregnant when she reached out to the Pregnancy Resource Center. Would she be judged? Would she be accepted? What she found at LAPRC was a team of people who were committed to providing excellent care and compassionate support to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. If you or someone you know is in a situation like Ashley, or if you want to help support women and families in our community, you can find us at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Join Holy Trinity and Historic St. Pat's Parishes in Bloomington in welcoming internationally renowned authors, speakers, and theologians, Drs. Scott Hahn and John Bergsma, as they make a rare speaking appearance to Central Illinois. This special event is being hosted by Holy Trinity Church in Bloomington Saturday, April 29th, 8:45 to 3:30. Seating is limited, so please register now. Don't miss out on this inspiring and blessed event. Learn more at the Holy Trinity website at hsp-ht.org.
Has an abortion experience left you feeling empty and alone? Rachel's Vineyard Retreat offers healing for those who struggle with the emotional and spiritual pain. This retreat is for mothers and fathers, whether single or married, and for grandparents, siblings, or anyone suffering the effects of an abortion loss. Confidentially register now for the March 24th through 26th retreat by calling 309-264-1489 or by emailing rvrpeoria@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. Thank you so much for listening. And you're listening to a very special episode this week. We are doing a recap of the first ever Naples Pro-Life Summit, which just occurred this last week in Naples, Florida. And we are joined today by Lauren Mazika from Sidewalk Advocates for Life. I feel like I'm going to get tongue-tied here. Linda Fernandez, also of Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and Karen Garnett with Heroic Media. And we've just been having a sort of a recap conversations. Lauren was wrestling alligators and Karen was eating pizza and Linda was hanging out with college students. It was a fun week.
Man, you really diss Karen there. I'm wrestling alligators.
Eating pizza and guest lecturing in Dr. Skarnecki's bioethics and law class. Never would have dreamed.
Did
they give you more pizza at the Skarnecki's class?
No, but actually, it was so cool. his wife, the Legion of Mary group was having their meeting. And as soon as our class was over, we walked over there, and his wife, who is Filipino and a wonderful cook, she had actually prepared food. So there, we ate that food there. And then I also got to meet, Sarah Pinto and her sister, Mary, I can't remember her last name, but graduates of Aubrey Maria School of Law and Aubrey Maria University. I mean, the conversation.
Hold on a second. We missed out on, did you say Filipino food?
His wife is Filipino and made an amazing dish.
Hold on. That's not a song. That's a, we don't want the song. We want a sad thing. I'm sad about that. Let's see. We were eating pizza for the second time in a day, and you were like having homemade awesome food. I mean, that doesn't seem fair.
It was awesome.
We weren't invited to that, Lauren.
Royce, we're not as cool as Karen is. We just have to, we have to make peace with this. And once we do and move forward, life is going to be so much easier. So
there's a whole nother issue for me to take to my doctor next week.
And confession. Yeah.
Yes. Good point. Behind the screen. All right. So look, let's jump into day two of the summit. For those that are wondering, it was 2 days. And really the second day, the first day was a lot of fun. The second day was amazing. And the highlight for me, aside from hanging out with you ladies, was going to Sunlight Home the morning of the second day. And Sunlight Home, for our listeners who don't know, is just an amazing maternity home. They care for women and teens. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And I want to hear your reaction, Lauren, Linda, and Karen. We'll just go right around the line. So Lauren, what was your reaction from that Sunlight tour?
So I'm a little bit of a systems nerd. I was incredibly impressed by their model. Like, I thought to myself, man, if I had $10 million, I would give it to them right now, right? Just so they can duplicate this model. But the idea that they walk with a woman through her pregnancy, right? And they've got all these incredible boundaries in place. They teach her, you know, financial, vocational, like everything under the sun that this woman is going to need to get on her feet to be successful. They've got a program in place, right? And then the kind of creme de la creme on top of that was the transitional living for 2 years after the baby is born. So women have the option to move into that should they need extended support. And again, it just completely blows this idea out of the water that pro-lifers, quote unquote, aren't there for women after the baby is born, right? And they actually consult with people all over the nation, and they put all of their systems and programs online so that other people can duplicate the model. And then Carolyn, the president, was just a doll. She was phenomenal to listen to. Just like you said, stories are so powerful. She told us so many stories that there's been tons of women who have come through there. We actually found out yesterday that one of our national team members used to work at that maternity home. Right. And we had no idea. Elizabeth Harris, who is on our programs team, used to actually serve in that maternity home. So
I love everything you just said. I completely agree. And I wish, you know, we see like McDonald's in every city. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need a Sunlight Home in every city.
Yeah.
And the fact that the women, it's required, and that it doesn't matter if they're Catholic, but Bible study is necessary and church is a requirement. And that's part of it. It's a contract that the women actually sign. And I love the saying that Carolyn came up with. Right? Linda, how did it go? I don't remember exactly.
She said when people came to the front door, she would say, "We have mustard seeds and we're not afraid to use them."
Yeah.
Isn't that it? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Is it? Hold on, we need an applause because I just love that.
Well, Carolyn.
Yeah. And you know what? I want that saying on a t-shirt. I've asked Nelly from Choose Life Marketing. I said, listen, can you put that on a t-shirt for Sunlight Home? So hopefully she'll do it. That would be really, really cool.
Or a bumper sticker.
Bumper sticker.
Yeah. There you
go. Absolutely. I would put that on my car. And I'm picky about bumper stickers because they leave a mess. But all right, Linda, I want to hear your reaction. And oh, let's go to Karen first because I think they're frozen.
Oh, we're back.
You're back.
We're back.
Okay, we'll go back to, well either one. Let's go with Linda, then we'll go to Karen. I want to hear your reaction, Linda, to the Sunlight Home Tour.
Well, I'll be quick, but I think, I honestly felt like in heaven. I don't know if you guys felt like that. I just felt like I was just sitting in the back and watching all this beautiful gift from God and just seeing. I think something that was really powerful, I was a little distracted because I was looking at the mom and the baby that were actually there. And so I was just in awe saying, like, this is the fruits of what they do. And so I saw that, and it gave me a lot of hope. And I think a lot what Lauren also mentioned, and the fact that we practice what we preach, like this is actual proof of resources and help out here for even people here in Naples. And so that was really powerful for me. And I think also, yeah, just walking around the different rooms. And I think we were also in the room of one of the teenagers, right, Royce, that we were right by there.
A 16-year-old mom who was trafficked by, I think, her family. Yes. And has a 2-year-old boy now. She came to the home when she was just 14 years old.
Yeah.
And my understanding is there's actually a house for sale like next door, and it's about $400,000. And there's some people down there that met at the summit. They're talking about like, we need to help them buy this other house so they can increase their capacity.
Oh, so, yeah.
Absolutely. And, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think the last thing that I was going to say was the fact that she was speaking about how all these women come here wounded. And I think that's something that I continue to talk about, is that we need to see the heart of these women. Like they come in here thinking that there's no hope, that there's no help, that nobody loves them. And so I love that she spoke about that. She said one of the mothers that was there was just so angry, right? She even flipped the table over and she was angry, and that she just they just continue to pour out love to her, that her life just transformed because she just needed that love. And so they walk with them and they're healing, and they give them even mental health counseling. Like they offer that for them too.
Yeah.
And so that was powerful.
Absolutely. So powerful. And so beautiful. All those stories, just so inspirational. Karen, what was your reaction? And, I don't know if you can add anything to that.
Well, I can't, because I'm in my annual event season, and our National Prayer Luncheon for Life annual event is in 3 weeks. And so I actually couldn't make that field trip.
Going to Photoshop you into the photo, because that's right, you weren't there.
Well, but I can comment though. I had to work solid all Thursday morning up until heading over to the summit. But just listening to you, I'll just share this because it's just resonating so much. One of the six finalists for this year's Pro-Life Impact Award and the $100,000 in Pro-Life Impact grants that we'll be announcing and presenting live at the end of the hour, 12 to 1 Central Time on April 21st. Everyone's invited to join from around the country, is Good Counsel Homes, which is founded by Christopher Bell, who's married to Joan Andrews Bell. And the co-founder was Father Benedict Groeschel, right? Who was Chris's spiritual director. They operate 4 maternity homes, 3 in New York, 1 New Jersey. They've helped open 9 more homes in 8 states. But one of the things that he said is that more than half the homeless pregnant women who come to the Good Counsel Homes have experienced abortions. They've had abortions. They're wounded, just like you're saying, Linda. They've been wounded by abortion. And so Good Counsel Homes ended up adding what they call their Lumina healing program.
Wow.
Because, and we also know this from our wonderful friends from Southwest Florida, Support After Abortion, that one of their slogans, which I absolutely love, is lives saved through lives restored. Yeah. That when people who have experienced, when those who have experienced abortions are healed from it, then it breaks the cycle of repeat abortions, not only for that individual, but it also breaks the cycle of intergenerational abortions. And so praise God to hear that. I mean, this, anyway, I'm sorry I missed it, but just to be able to kind of add that as well, that I recently learned that just from getting to know Chris Bell and hearing about Good Counsel Homes, absolutely critically important it is.
I want to get into more of this summit, but I want you to tell the listeners, Karen, how people can get involved with these awards.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Matter of fact, I have a prior year's honoree right here on this show with us right now. Lauren's right here. National Prayer Luncheon for Life. It actually began back in 2016 in a different format counter to Planned Parenthood, same day, same time in Dallas, Texas. Fundraising, like a little bit of prayer, but fundraising for the Heroic Media Mission to continue to counter Planned Parenthood and go head to head every day on the internet. And but in 20 after the pandemic came, you know, the world changed, and Brett Atterbury became CEO of our company in November 1, 2020. And he said, you know what, we're not doing this anymore. For one, Planned Parenthood wasn't even doing theirs. And he said, I believe God's put it on my heart that we're supposed to completely change this. It's not about us. It's about the whole movement. And it's an hour. It's 1 hour.
Karen, but so just because we only have a couple minutes left, how can people get involved?
Okay, sorry. I was explaining what it is. So it's an hour. what we call an Hour of Power prayer and celebration event where everybody can come together. Organizations are nominated, and then six go on the ballot. The country votes. Go to nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org to vote. The top vote-getting organization gets the award and the $50,000 grant, and then the other five organizations get a 20, a 15, and three fives. And Lawrence, IWC Advocates for Life, got 15,000 2 years ago. nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org is where you go to vote, and everybody's invited, and thousands of people can come together and pray together.
I love this. So first of all, I mean, you guys went from, you know, doing fundraisers to funding, right? You're providing grants to organizations that are out there doing things like this Good Counsel Homes, like Sidewalk Advocates for Life.
Yep.
And you're it's so cool that people from around the country can actually vote on who they think should be entitled to win this year's grants. Is that correct?
Well, everyone gets a grant. So it's just what level. So the top vote getting organization, there's six, I'll say them real quick. This year, it's the Abortion Survivors Network, led by Melissa Oden. This is alphabetical order. Equal Rights Institute, led by Josh Brom. Good Counsel Homes, led by Chris Bell. Human Life Alliance, led by Joe Langfeld. Natural Women's Health, led by Dr. Monique Ruberu. And Thrive Express Women's Healthcare, led by Bridget Van Means. Those are the six finalists for this year. Wow. And how the votes go determines who gets the 50, the 20, the 15, and then a fourth, fifth, and sixth each get a 5,000. So it's super fun. And the Catherine Hadro is our MC this year. She'll be leading us through. We have inspirational prayer leaders who take us through the first 45 minutes. And then I get up there and I make the announcements and we present them live. And we're done in an hour.
So plug the website for us. Plug it for us one more time.
Yeah. nationalprayerluncheonforlife.org. Voting closes at midnight on April 15th. You can only vote once, but everybody can also join in from all over the country, 12 to 1 Central Time. On the website on Friday, April 21st.
Wait, and you said something that is really bothering me. So I'm from Illinois. Mm-hmm. Did you say we're only allowed to vote once?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Right. If you're dead, you can vote twice.
Yeah. Not once per email address that you might have.
That is working in Chicago. I'm telling you that right now, Karen. You'll have like 30 votes coming from the same address. And actually won't even be anybody living there.
Living.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's funny how all the deceased voters all seem to vote for the same political party. We won't get into that.
Unbelievable.
Well, and I also just want to say very quickly, I want to thank you, Royce Law of Life Summit, for being a sponsor of National Prayer Luncheon for Life. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Just send us the invoice and we're happy to. And I'm just teasing. It's always good. It's good to partner with groups. And that's what this is all about, right? It's about supporting each other, promoting each other. And that's what I love about the summit. I mean, right. So we'll get into we only have about a minute and a half remaining on this program today. But the last part of the summit, the highlight was the Law of Life Summit portion where it's tough because everybody that is speaking, we have tons of speakers and everybody that is speaking is a keynote speaker that could talk for an hour or 2 hours. Yeah. And they have such interesting stories and such important ministries. But we're forced to sort of limit that time and get everybody up on stage. Karen, you were there. Lauren, Linda, we had a whole bunch of other people. We had somebody from Chicago who was really, really cool. Pastor Moody, who's working to open a maternity home in the south side of Chicago. We're hopefully going to have him on next week as well. So anyway, that was amazing. It was amazing to see all of you ladies there. Let's ask you guys this. We'll put you on the spot. Can we count on you all being at the second annual Naples Pro-Life Summit next year?
Yeah.
Heck yes.
I think affirmative.
All right.
I was going to say, the thing is that I can't wait for the next excursion. You know, like that's going to be beautiful.
How do we get past airboats and wrestling gators?
He's already talked about dolphins.
That's
you
right.
Want to go see dolphins. Royce is already pitching it. Royce, I'm going to put you on the spot. I've been hearing from seeing feedback on, you know, Facebook page and everything else, yours is God calling you to do more Law of Life summits, mini summits around in other locations? Yes, Naples was great and that's awesome. But I mean, I saw people saying, when are you coming to North Dakota? When are you coming to Nebraska? You know, where's this one? You know, maybe God is calling you to take Law of Life summit, to take the show on the road, so to speak.
I appreciate that. I've picked Lauren's brain a few times and I'm definitely discerning it. It looks like we're going to have Kansas City announced pretty soon, which would be a lot of fun. And I'm honestly hoping, you know, there's DC, there's Kansas City that'll be coming up. I really want the Naples event to turn into like the national retreat for everybody from national pro-life leaders to little pregnancy centers and maternity home. You know, that the people that are running these things need to know that there's other people out there that support their work. And they should have an opportunity to come together and have a little bit of fun, retreat, strategize, energize, and network. And so I'm hoping Naples turns into that. But thank you so much for those words of encouragement. I just have to check with my wife to see if she'll let me do any more of them. And at least I'll say yes. I'm just joking. As long as I bring a couple kids along. But no, actually, next year I'm going to bring all the kids next year to Naples because it just worked so well. So anyway, listen, I think we're pretty much out of time for this episode. You guys have been such troopers. It is almost, I don't even know what time it is. It's almost 11 o'clock.
It is 11:48 Eastern time because I'm still in Florida.
Is that your cousin's house going to the beach again tomorrow? Is that right?
Yeah, the timing of this is just incredible. Like, you did it on a Wednesday, Thursday, which means, you know, you can like take Friday potentially to do something fun when you're in Florida. Well, yeah, my cousin, we're from Virginia, and my cousin and his wife just a year ago bought a villa in Sarasota and happened to be in town right now. And so this is my first time to come visit. And yes, oh my gosh, the clear water and the white sand. God, it's a little bit almost heaven today. And yeah, again,
if you get sunburned, get yourself an aloe plant. That is the best remedy.
Yes. Yep.
That is good. And Linda and I got on an airplane and we are in Pensacola right now. So we went to the panhandle of Florida to do a closing celebration tomorrow with the community in Pensacola. So we actually flew back into God's time, which is the central time zone, by the way. And so it's good to be back.
We only have 10 seconds left, but tell us what number is this? This is a closure. Mm-hmm. Abortion clinic that closed really because of Sidewalk Advocates for Life, the ministry that you're involved, that you've started.
This one had a Sidewalk Advocates for Life presence. Thanks be to God. And I also want to give a shout out to the longtime prayer volunteers who were out here, and ReProtection, one of the organizations that we partner with to hold the abortion facilities feet to the fire when it comes to the law. So Sidewalk Advocates saw weird things. They reported to ReProtection. ReProtection reported to local and state officials, and they shut this place down. And so this one really took a village. So, I mean, it is a huge thing. And Pensacola would have been an abortion destination because of its positioning in the South. Mm-hmm. And so we have no idea the countless lives that are going to be saved because this place is no longer in business. And they already had counted, by God's grace, 161 turnaways the last few years.
And what number closure is this one, Lauren?
Oh, this is 31. We just got news a couple days ago of abortion facility closure number 32 in the Bronx, New York.
Need to have you back on this program to tell us about shutting these down. We need to get somebody from ReProtection as well. We are out of time for this episode of Truth Culture Life. You're listening to Truth Culture Life on Catholic Spirit Radio. Thank you so much for listening. We want to thank Lauren, Linda, and Karen for staying up late for us tonight so we could get this produced for tomorrow. Thank you guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Royce. Thanks, everyone.